Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
And special guest, Greg. How you doing, Greg?
I've never been better, Chad.
All right. Greg is a, this is your second time on the show.
Yeah.
But here you are live and in living color. And I've invited you on because the outcome of the Super Bowl 49, the Patriots beat the Seahawks 28-24.
And, I wish it was 40. That
would be pretty good for you. Greg is a Patriots fan, so I thought it only fair. You know, I do ride the Patriots very hard on this show and in life. So I thought it'd be fair to bring somebody aboard who actually cares for that team. So
unbelievable.
I agree. Well, what can we say about the Super Bowl?
Exciting.
It was very exciting, I will say that.
A lot of money turned at the very end.
Yeah.
Yes.
I counted mine twice, and then it disappeared.
almost a safety.
For the, like, 3 out of 4 years, there have been, like, a safety.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a streak, and now it's
you know, I thought broken. I actually stood up, pointed to the lineman, and I thought maybe the Patriots would allow him to score so they can get more time. But then I thought not, because he didn't call a timeout.
Yeah, people are wondering, like, why Belichick didn't call a timeout, and why he kind of
did you think that they might let him score? Let him walk in with it?
Yes. I don't pretend to know what Belichick's thinking. The guy knows more about football than all of them. But I think, obviously, what he did work, he said he liked the formation they were in. They were in a goal line with just three quarterbacks.
Well, it puts the onus on the other team.
It does. And so basically they're like, we're ready to stop your run. We're going to make it look really nice for you guys to pass. They had three cornerbacks, but no safeties and just one linebacker.
Right.
So, and with the time running down, you can't really set up too good of a play during like a timeout, so Pete Carroll's forced to like make a decision.
Well, but can we? Well, let's jump to the play now. Okay. People are calling it the dumbest play. I don't know
it's
if you.
Can,
I don't
Why,
know if
because
you,
it didn't work.
Well, because it didn't work for a lot of reasons. Here's my problem with it, and when it happened, I couldn't believe it either. I mean, Butler intercepts the pass. Now here's my problem with it. When he throws the ball, there's 20 seconds left. They still have a timeout in their pocket. Plus, it's only second down.
Right.
Now, they start off in a pass formation. It's shotgun. There's nobody in the backfield. So there's no way that it already you're saying we're going to pass it.
What?
You can run it out of the shotgun, but I mean, this is why their goal line stands. Like this
you're
is
right.
what happens because
you're
right.
you
get
not having the back there. It tells you it's going to be something quick.
Yeah, it's going to be something quick because either you're going to have a spy on you know right from the start you're going to have a spy on Wilson or cover your men. And I've also heard the stupid conspiracy theory. Have you heard about the conspiracy?
Oh, they want Marshawn Lynch to win MVP.
Yeah, it's like they didn't want to give it to Marshawn Lynch to score the touchdown because then he would be named
MVP.
They're not
going to re-sign him.
Right, and because then he would give some stupid interview. I'll tell you why that's stupid. I'll tell you why. If you want to guarantee that Russell Wilson is going to be the MVP, you have him run it in. What happened to bootlegs? What happened to read options? I understand it's at the 1 yard line, but I just
well, because it ended badly.
It ended badly, but I really don't think many people would be going. That was a genius play call by Bevel, who is the offense. We can't even say Carroll. Carroll had no input on the play.
So Bevel won't be getting a job elsewhere.
No,
you can't kill him. I mean, they don't have the first of all. They never had the best offense in the league this year.
That is true.
They're maybe a little bit better than the middle of the pack.
They were there because of their defense.
And the this game, they couldn't do anything down to the he didn't throw to one tight end. And the Pats are okay against tight ends. They're not great. And they didn't get anything in the middle of the field. It was all deep throws.
Yeah.
So the offense wasn't great. Lynch got better as the second half went on, which he should do because then defensive linemen and linebackers get tired.
And that's usually his MO. He gets stronger as the game goes on.
Well, you know what's interesting about him? If you look at he's a strider.
Yes.
Right? So he has long strides. And he can move laterally with these strides. And because of his legs being far apart like that, it's difficult to tackle him.
That's true.
You can't get both arms around both legs. I remember, this is back in the day, Denver had a running back that was bow-legged.
Right.
And he played at Syracuse. What was his name?
I forget.
He beat all of Jim Brown's records at Syracuse at the time. But he was bow-legged. And it was hard to wrap him up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. The NFL is just full of oddities, like human oddities.
I mean, Lynch wasn't good at the goal line this year. He was 1 for 5. And the thing, they probably never thought it was going to be an interception.
No.
Like, worst thing is incompletion. But allegedly, according to Butler, he's like, we practiced this. I knew the exact formation was going to happen. You could see him telling Browner, this is that thing I got beat on in practice. Right. And Browner, people don't give him credit, but he's on Curse. If Curse gets pushed on Browner, Butler doesn't have a clear lane to intercept that football.
That's true.
So Browner gets really good press coverage on Curse.
Yeah.
And Butler just, he literally moved right before the play happened.
He did. He knew what was coming.
He knew it was coming. And
yeah, but if it was Shaq, and if Shaq's running that route, I mean, he's body blocking that DB and turning and facing the ball. I mean, he kind of casually reached out. And when he got chipped on his shoulder and went down hard, you see, he just flew that receiver.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there could have been a bit of a fall.
That tells me, you know, you're not in the right position.
No. I just think that if it was a pass play, it should not have been over the middle. Not a slant.
Oh, throw it. Yeah.
Yes. You know how they say, like, take a shot to the end zone? You don't take a shot to the end zone over the middle of the end zone where there are 5 linebackers and 6 linemen or whatever.
Maybe if you have, like, someone like Gronk or Calvin Johnson, you risk that thing because they're just huge.
They have no wide receiver. And I was ranting and railing during the championship game against the Packers. He threw to their tight end, Luke Wilson, twice, I think. This is an offense that would be perfect for any tight end work, if you have an average tight end.
But do you remember when he left as coach at New England? Didn't he do the choke?
Who, Carroll?
Yeah, Carroll. Do you remember that?
Oh, I got it. Okay, so I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, so it looked amateur. You know, it looked amateur. He looked rank. He left the league. He went to coach in college.
USC.
But I so wanted one of the Patriots to turn around and do that because that was a choke
move.
We're not
that bad. Literally against the Eagles. No, I think we did the
But then they're like WWF or whatever with flinging each other around. So, like, you know.
Well,
a little drama for the fans.
That is true. I mean, I do want to talk about the offensive call by Bevel because I'm putting this on Bevel more so than Carroll or anybody else. I'm going to give an example. 2 years ago, or not this past season, but the previous season, there was a Thursday night game, Seattle against the Cardinals, and this actually made its rounds on the internet. Marshawn Lynch was on it was a third quarter drive, and Marshawn Lynch had these big runs, 17-yard run and a 5-yard run, and he almost scored a touchdown, but he was ruled down at the goal line. So it's third and goal at the one, and they call a pass play. Well, the cameras catch Marshawn Lynch turning to the sidelines and giving the finger to the side. You heard about this, right?
Heard about it, yeah.
So this is the same offensive coordinator who Lynch gave a finger to. Now, I know Lynch has come out and said, I have no problem with not getting the ball. That's a fine call. But this is the type of guy who's calling the plays where his own playmakers are looking and saying, really?
Well, yeah, but I want all my guys want the ball. You got to want the ball to go to you. So when it doesn't, you should be mad, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the inside of the NFL on the game yet?
I haven't seen that, I'll be honest. I've been listening
to other shows.
I've been
just the only show.
Yeah, pretty much. I have not listened to anything. I haven't watched the game.
Brady, Wilson, and a couple of them mic'd up. And you hear Wilson be like, yo, if we get toward the goal line, trust me on this. I got this.
Then you should have.
But that was before the second quarter, and they did that, and they got the touchdown. Which I was
I mean, that was great going into the halftime.
That's what Pete Carroll does. I mean, you love it when it works out.
No, look, he does. And I really wish the Jets would have given him more of a chance to be a head coach except one season. I understand Marino's spike play wasn't that great. Okay? But I also want to talk about...
Yeah, it was a rule changer.
That's true. But this play, while not to the same effect, but that play also reminded me of the James Harrison interception, Super Bowl 43. Oh. Goal line. Now totally different. He ran it back for a touchdown at halftime.
Yeah,
I mean, the higher stakes were on the line, but still, it kind of gave that sort of.
But Caliente said, "Spider White Banana." I mean, wasn't he calling a play for
that? Probably, I think so. And how about the University of Phoenix Stadium has had 3 amazing games. Let me just start off with the first one, the 2007 Fiesta Bowl, Boise State, Oklahoma, where the Statue of Liberty play, the hook and lateral, Adrian Peterson run. I mean, that was an. I actually watched that. I have that game like downloaded. I'll fast forward just to the 1 minute mark in the fourth quarter,
right?
Because that's all you need to watch. Just an amazing game there.
That's one.
That's one.
I don't remember a second game.
Oh yes, you do. No. That would be Super Bowl 42.
What?
That'd be Super Bowl 42. David Tyree, Eli Manning, 18-1. All that stuff. Well, but now you don't have to worry about that.
You know, I'm actually.
What was that, the undefeated season?
That, well, the almost undefeated season. That's where the Super Bowl, you know, Patriots T-shirts arrive on Monday in Africa.
We comforted a lot of African children, right?
That's absolutely true.
With Seattle lads now.
Well, oh yeah, now all the African children are wearing those Seattle T-shirts because, you know, all the losing team, they have all those shirts made up, so they send them out.
I'm literally comfortable enough to watch that game now.
Yeah, you think you're ready?
Right after the curse catch, they show the David Tyree catch.
They did.
And I was like, way to kick me while I'm down.
I know. And we were actually discussing this. That curse catch is going to be forgotten. It's going to be lost because the two plays later was the interception. And everybody's still thinking about the curse catch. And here's the interception. It's gone. It's gone. It's like a buried news story. It's gone.
It was such a crazy. I couldn't believe it.
But the first half was just boring. I mean, I don't.
Oh, very fast moving.
Very fast. Nothing, the second quarter was exciting.
Really?
Brady drove down the field for, and he threw a beautiful ball to Gronk, and then Russell Wilson.
I was afraid the whole game was going to be that way.
Throw to Gronk would be great.
Now you know, halftime, Super Bowl halftimes, they always come through. Like, there's never really one where you look at, oh, maybe 48. I mean, that was just a drawing. Nobody was watching after halftime.
I think what's different about the entertainment is that it has to be appealing for all age groups.
And that's
because I was looking at some of the colors, the excitement. I'm thinking, if you have a really good performer, can't we just hear you sing? But then again, I'm realizing, you know, all ages are watching this.
Everybody's watching.
Like, someone once told me, like, hey, Greg, how come they don't have the Foo Fighters play? And I'm like, you know why? Because everybody who likes the Foo Fighters is probably are watching the game. People who like football, they don't want people who like football to be watching the halftime show.
Yeah.
They want the tweens. They want people who like Katy Perry. They want to get, they're like, we know we get most of the country to watch this game because it's like a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But let's get, like, everybody who doesn't care about football just to watch the first half.
True.
Just so they can see Katy Perry.
2 years ago when Beyonce performed, the joke on the internet was, I saw a Beyonce concert and a football game broke out.
That's all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, after the Janet Jackson incident, because before that, MTV was running the halftime show. So, you know, at one point they had Britney Spears, NSYNC, and Aerosmith all on the stage at the same time. I think that was the Giants Ravens Super Bowl 35.
Music in a nutshell.
Yeah, it was. That was the Super Bowl 35. And then after Janet Jackson, they toned it down. They got Springsteen, Tom Petty, McCartney. Like, they really brought it back. Yeah. And now they're sort of
How about when Mick Jagger was there? I mean, did that guy look? He looked inappropriate, didn't he? I mean, jumping around like that.
Probably. Well, but I mean, that's what we're talking about. Remember, I'm Super Bowl 43. Bruce Springsteen is on his knees and he's going around bumping into cameras, all that stuff. But yeah, exactly. For the boss. But now they've changed it where they're, okay, now we're a little bit easier. And now, because with Goodell, everything's about the money. So what's going to bring in the most? We don't care about if anybody shows anything anymore. Let's just get people in. But
Dancing Sharks brings in the most.
Dancing Sharks does bring him in.
He should move on.
Who? Yeah. Goodell? No.
No. He makes, you know, controversies stink. But right now they're like, well, my job is to make sure the league doesn't completely implode and we're making more money than ever. So how bad of a job can I be doing?
And who does he work for? The owners.
The owners.
The owners.
Like Kraft.
Kraft doesn't like him right now.
Well, no, Kraft doesn't like him right now.
They're
although
buds.
Although I've heard it, you know, speaking
of Sherman, they hang out.
Well, that's
what's the next conspiracy?
Well, I don't know, but it always seems to happen to them.
Well, I don't know what I heard. We were talking about the last play of the game. Someone was like, "Yo, are you sure?" And no one's taking this seriously. Are you sure Bill Belichick didn't, as this guy put it, voice Photoshop the Seahawks play callers to make them throw a pass?
No, that's,
that's what people. There's people. This.
I understand the conspiracy.
Or Photoshop.
I understand the conspiracy theories, but there has to be a little bit of facts, you know, with something like the Deflategate, the fact that the balls were. I mean, there's the evidence. Now, we look as crazy as something like did he hack the Seahawks?
Chad's watching me try not to implode.
I'm trying, but I'm just saying, like, that's just conspiracy theory. But like, you know, when you have an evidence like here are these balls that are being checked and stuff, I mean, that's
now.
That's
what about Warren Sapp?
He's an idiot.
Is that Inflategate? What was going on there?
I don't know.
He's an idiot. Idiotgate. I'm an idiot.
He was fired.
He's gone from the NFL Network because of the assault part of it. Here's the thing. Greg Anthony, who does college basketball for CBS and TNT, I believe,
right.
He had a similar incident with soliciting prostitution, and he wasn't fired. He was just given a year.
Warren Sapp's done other stuff, I think.
Well, but here's the thing. Greg Anthony was just arrested for soliciting. Now, Warren Sapp is soliciting, and there's assault charges with it. And this is not his first assault charge. So this is kind of, especially after the Ray Rice stuff, especially after the Adrian Peterson stuff, the word assault, that's an immediate. Now, you can talk about Josh Gordon. He likes to drink. You know.
Didn't he write some kind of letter kind of defending? Or
apologizing.
The guy hasn't bottomed out yet?
Well, apparently.
That doesn't bode well.
Well, apparently he really likes to sell cars because that's what he was doing this season while he was suspended. He was selling cars and he was a great salesman, apparently. So apparently he really likes to sell cars and he could care less about
playing football. He's going to have to be good at
how freaking dominant he was
last season. He was amazing. Yeah.
It's a waste of potential.
He's one more and he's out for life, right?
Pretty much.
Up to a fourth?
A year, someone will take a risk on him. I don't know. If you're off a football for a year, that can be. I mean, he's young, so maybe he can rebound, but...
And especially his ability. Like, he's a wide receiver. With people talking about Ray Rice being out for a season, will that help him?
He's an old running back.
He's a running back. Yeah. And he's on the, you know, he was in college in what, 07? 06, 07? So it's been a while.
People that have successful rehabs aren't as competitive, and such that sometimes it doesn't bode well for your career. I mean, I know Carter it worked for.
Chris Carter?
Chris Carter. I know it worked for him. But, I mean, I can see how that can happen because it's a form of surrender.
True.
And that's not highly competitive when you're in that mode. So I wish him well either way. But
look at Tiger Woods. After his...
It looks like Strahan.
With the tooth missing.
That tooth? Yeah.
Yeah, no, they replaced the tooth and he retold.
How did that go missing?
He got hit in the face by a cameraman, apparently. I don't know.
There were rumors about that.
It wasn't
in an Escalade.
No, it wasn't an Escalade. It wasn't his naughty boy phone going off.
So maybe
the
a skiing accident.
But that's a perfect example. Tiger Woods, after all that stuff. He still is never the same. He just recently shot his worst. He shot an 80.
He was the worst player playing that day.
Yeah, it was like 89 or 82.
Did he drop out? Because often he doesn't have a final score when he's feeling poor.
No,
he just drops out.
He didn't make the cut. Yeah. Like he was at like an 82, which is like 10 over
his
par.
Back goes bad.
No, this
you
one
know,
no.
They just can't finish.
What is he? 36.
He's not 40 yet.
He's not 40. There's no reason. Engulfed to deteriorate this much,
but the same reason why hockey playoff beers are still worn.
Who was that baseball player that was going to break all the records for home runs and then he ended up not doing it? Didn't he end up in Seattle?
I don't know. But we were talking about a guy. Oh no, it'll pop into your head. But we were talking about a guy recently who was.
Ken Griffey.
No, not Ken Griffey. But yes. A guy. What?
Yes.
What do you mean? Oh, the
well, Ken Griffey
senior?
Because he got hurt. Ken Griffey went to the. Where do you
Reds. He went to the
he
Reds.
Went to the Reds. He got hurt a lot. He was. I mean, he was on his way for.
Wasn't he at the beginning of his career?
Oh, yes. I mean, okay.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Disgusting. Like, you looked at it, you were like, I don't know what the ceiling is for this guy.
Well.
Right? And he was going to. And then what happened?
Yeah. Oh, his legs. His hamstrings.
Yeah, he just got hurt.
He blew up both hamstrings. He
How do you do that? I mean, on a bar.
You don't stretch. You don't stretch because you know why?
Yeah, because he forgot. It happens. Some people's bodies break
because
down.
He's so used to trotting. He's so used to the home run trot.
Marshawn Lynch gets hit harder than a lot of running backs, but his body's just built. Sometimes it's just luck.
But
he almost looks
magnetic, Lynch. He looks like he's looking for somebody to carry. If two were there, he's looking for a third one.
That is true.
The guy's not too evasive. Yeah.
Would you re-sign him?
No, not for that money.
I wouldn't. I don't like running backs.
What is it? $20 million? What are they going to loan somebody?
I'm a Patriots fan, so I don't like keeping running backs or wide receivers for too long. Too much money.
Well, BS. He doesn't want to come back.
He may.
I honestly don't think
he likes Seattle.
I don't think that. I think he's done. I think he'll be gracious on the way out.
Sooner than the Jets.
But Well, that would be nice.
No, but how much could you pay for a guy like that?
I don't like old running backs.
Something.
Well, not especially if they have to. Would you focus that money on offense or defense if you're Seattle? Because you've got a lot of rookie contracts expiring.
Oh yeah, they're not.
Think about guys like Chancellor and Sherman and Averill and Bennett and all these other
guys. Sherman and who's this? Earl Thomas. They have signed long term.
Right. But I'm just saying.
Wagner.
I'm glad you mentioned Bobby Averill because hit loss to him late in the game.
Yes.
And you really need a pass rush.
Boy, did they fall.
Both the Brady interceptions, a guy got injured.
Yes. One broke his arm and the other got a concussion.
Even Brady's bad is good.
I just want him to go away. Now I know.
While he's on top?
He's not going to retire. He's not.
Let's wait till he's 45. There's nothing wrong with him.
He's saying he's only had one major injury. I loved it when Brandon Flowers took out his legs in 2008.
Is that Brandon Flowers?
I believe it was Brandon Flowers.
No, it was the same guy. He's the Patriot killer. What's his name? I hate him so much. And he took out Gronkowski getting injured, Wes Welker. It's the same guy.
I thought his name was Brandon Flowers.
I'm going to look it up. It might have been Brandon Flowers.
It's the same guy. All I remember is there was a t-shirt because he was playing for the Chiefs. It was a red t-shirt, and it said, knockout Brady. So I just bought his jersey. Brady's going to play. Believe me. Now I know how Cincinnati fans felt about Joe Montana. Just go away. Please leave. Or how about anybody else in the NFC?
Well, again,
just leave Montana.
Football's going to end up quitting him then. Because you see all that dink and dunk stuff. I mean, you can't go on that forever in the league.
They had a brilliant game plan. Josh McDaniels deserves an award for that game plan.
Well, he deserves a head coaching job if he can keep it this time.
I think he's going to do well for a little bit.
But here's the thing: his Belichick's assistants can't keep jobs, and if they do keep the jobs, they're only there because they do good.
Well, they do well.
What about Charlie Weiss?
Isn't he a defense? He
went to Notre Dame.
Really flamed out there.
Right.
Maybe he's with the Chiefs.
No. He's still in the collegiate ranks. He went to Kansas State. Wow, was he bad there? Two seasons, I think, of double-digit losses. I want to say USC or UCLA offensive coordinator. I could be totally wrong, but I'm thinking a Pac-12 team. He's a defensive coordinator for
Bernard Pollard.
Bernard Pollard. There you go. Bernard
Pollard. All he does is injure Patriots.
Bernard Pollard. I like him. He's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to now that we've talked about things we don't like. Let's talk about things we do like the Mets. We were having discussions earlier about the New York Mets this season. The pitching staff is coming together pretty well. I'm excited for this. We're actually going to opening day. We'll do a live broadcast from opening day.
Great.
So I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited. Now baseball season can happen, I think.
How many days? Does it matter to pitchers and catchers? Doesn't it matter until the game's actually?
Well, it matters if you're still a free agent. I mean, James Shields is one of the top free agents, and he hasn't been signed, which I'm very surprised at.
I don't know where he's going to go.
I don't know either. I'm very confused. I'm very concerned. I mean, he's a good pitcher.
He's good.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Mets don't need him, but really, he should be somewhere.
The Nationals are better now?
A little bit.
That's all? That arm is only a little bit? Scherzer?
Yeah, but, they got rid of Adam LaRoche, and I don't know who they're going to put at first base.
It's still some
bad contracts. It matters who plays
first. Jason Wirth is a terrible contract.
Yeah, Jason Wirth is. The only reason Jason Wirth got that monster contract was because it showed that the Washington Nationals were open for business. Because otherwise, we talk about the cost of doing business. Jason's Worth contract is the cost of doing business. Absolutely. That's what I think. Because it made people go, oh, they want to spend money. All right, I'll go there. That's just how I feel about it.
I can't think of any player right now that's worth that contract. Maybe,
I think we were pointing this out to, recently that there's such a huge pot of money, honey, whatever you want to call it, for baseball because of television contracts, et cetera, that you're getting people. There was one guy we were looking at that batted. Did he bat his weight? He wasn't even 200, I don't think, and he got, I forget how many million.
Probably.
I mean, it's just ridiculous, the sums of money.
It's all guaranteed.
And it is. The best athletes aren't playing baseball. Right?
No, they're not.
Basketball and football. So now you're drawing from a subpar group and paying them way over the top.
Russell Wilson's going to spring training.
That's true. Yeah, with the Texas Rangers. He's still on the 40-man roster. Texas is not going to give up on him.
Maybe he's really upset after the Super Bowl.
I would love to see a two-sport athlete again.
Never going
to
happen. never
going to. But I think it'd be great. Look, you're not going to get another.
Why? Book. Because one would put it in the contract that you couldn't? I wouldn't want my guy being at risk doing something.
Well, you're not going to see Bo Jackson's or Deion Sanders anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but I'd love to see
it. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I think a better one would be a basketball player, baseball player, like Dave DeBuscher. That'd be great.
I think that'll see things go inside. Unless you want him like out for 2 months for the baseball season.
Well, you know, it depends. If you're a pitcher, save that arm, maybe.
You'll see LeBron James play football, tight end.
I could see that. I'd like to see LeBron James play football. I think he'd be good. I mean, you know, let's move on to basketball because the Cavaliers have actually woken up a little bit. I'm very surprised.
Yeah, Kevin Love still isn't playing great, though.
No, he's not. No.
But Kyrie and LeBron are meshing well.
Yeah, they're doing well.
What's the biggest surprise team in the NBA?
The Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, you know what? Atlanta Hawks. I was going to say Warriors, Golden State Warriors, but Hawks. The Hawks had like a 16 game.
Warriors were on their way up. They're moving up. The Hawks. Right. They
leapfrogged.
I mean, they were forever an 8th seed team in the East, and now they're looking strong.
Kyle Korver.
Yeah,
you got to go young.
You have to go young. I'm just worried.
Now, what about that revelation that the triangle, you know, is...
Oh, Phil Jackson.
Triangle works when you have people who can run it.
Yeah, really.
I mean, does that come a physics professor? I mean, like, how complicated is this thing?
It's not... It's different than what people are used to.
I throw to you throw to him, and he takes the shot?
It's very little isolation. It's a lot of passing and moving without the ball, and basically, you need a dominant post player. You need Shaq, you need Michael, you need Kobe, who, if nothing else works... Then you just put them in the post and have them work their magic.
But it's not like trying to figure out the Coca-Cola formula or anything like that.
Maybe a good passing big man. Luke Longley, Bill Cartwright. Shaq was a good passing big man. Pau Gasol, good passing big man. You need a big man who can pass well.
There's no big man on the Knicks. There's none. No, and there hasn't been I mean, Patrick Ewing was the best big man in New York, but he's gone. He's far, far gone.
Yeah.
And there's nobody... I mean, there's no dominant big guys in the game anymore. I mean, there
is. Gasol's good. I mean, do you consider Blake a big... You mean like centers?
Yeah, I'm talking like a pure center.
Those days are over.
Those days are gone. Howard's
good. Gasol.
Howard's
DeAndre Jordan.
Howard's okay if he wants to play, but he's like a Josh Gordon if he wants to be there. I don't know, but that's what's missing. I think that's what's missing in the game, but I'm not.
Do you consider Anthony Davis a center? Anthony Davis is right now a young Tim Duncan.
Yes. Scary. Yeah, but I don't know. That's still power forward. See, the problem is because there's no real difference between a center and a power forward.
Like hybrid.
Yeah, so.
You know, I'm still confused at what happened to the hook shot.
And the hook shot?
What happened
Kareem
to
Kareem took him. Didn't give him
and it was gone, this guy hook. I mean, it's hard to defend, no?
How about the mid-range game?
That's gone.
That's gone. It's either you dunk, you lay up, or you shoot three.
You can take Mike D'Antoni.
That's true, you can.
Pick
well, if you shoot the three, you don't have to run as far.
And I'm sure there's some stats out there that say that three-pointers, if you take more and more of them, it's going to help your team out more. But, I don't know, mid-range game always worked for a very long time.
Nowitzki, I think, is the only guy who still does it.
Nowitzki has a very good mid-range game.
He's the only one. Now, let me put this out for you. Would you watch the finals if it's Golden State-Atlanta?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Okay. Can't wait to see some new
Stephen Curry's.
He's very
Splash
good.
Splash Brothers, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's just because when you look at the NBA, you want to see the Lakers, you want to see the Celtics. Well, I mean, just
Aren't
for that,
tired
I'd see the Clippers. I'd be very entertaining.
I would love to see the Clippers. They'd be entertaining, but you need sort of those big markets.
They're better
big,
with the new owner.
You haven't heard bad things about it. And yeah. If you want a cheerleader, if you want your owner to be a cheerleader and not take your franchise as a billionaire's plaything, then Steve Ballmer is your owner. That's who you want.
As long as you don't screw up like you screwed up Microsoft, it'll be fun.
Well, all right. Well, I'd like to thank Greg for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Chad. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Dad. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll see you for opening day for sure. Maybe before that, but.
Oh, yeah, breakfast at the Bay.
Breakfast at the Bay.
Can I say one thing really quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Go Patriots.
All right, that's fine. Do you have anything to plug? Do you have anything you want to... Because I know you were on the podcast, the Marvel...
I go around a lot of podcasts. Like,
I know.
Whatever friend thinks I know a lot about something, I'll go on their podcast. I don't want to plug everything. I enjoyed this football season. I hope for... Many more like it.
You'll hold on to it for many, many
times. No, I think I'll be back for next year.
Maybe we'll see. I'll definitely invite you on more, no, that's for sure. All right, well, thanks very much for listening. Thank you for enjoying, and take care, everybody.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.